Good morning, and welcome once again to Mornings for the Master, heard each weekday right here on the Gospel Radio Network at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, and replayed each evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And also, these programs are posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website. And so, we hope you're availing yourselves to these programs. Each day has a different host and a different course of study. My name is Chris McElyea, and on Thursdays, I'm your host, and at this time, we are studying the book of 1 Samuel, and today, we are going to begin with chapter 22. Now, chapters 16 through 31, we find the central figure to be David. And we're in a section in chapters 21 through 30 where we're focused in on David's years as a fugitive. In chapter 21, we begin that section as we looked at David when he fled to Ahimelech the priest. And as we begin today in chapter 22, we're going to find David fleeing to the cave of Adullam. We find that 400 men gather, and David became their captain. We pick up now in verse 1 of chapter 22. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. David departs for the cave of Adullam, now with 400 men at his side. Many distressed people will rally to one that they see as their leader, most of the time. So now next, David goes to the land of Moab, and then into the land of Judah. Verse 3. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please, let my father and mother come here with you, till I know what God will do for me." So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Now the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Depart, and go into the land of Judah." So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. Now what happens next, we find that an angry Saul only gets even angrier. Verse 6. When Saul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered, now Saul was staying in Gibeah under a tamarisk tree in Ramah, with his spear in his hand, and all his servants standing about him. Then Saul said to his servants who stood about him, "Hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? All of you have conspired against me, and there is no one who reveals to me that my son has made a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there is not one of you who is sorry for me, or reveals to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day." Saul now censures the Benjamites for conspiracy and not for informing him about David. A spy told Saul of Ahimelech's helping David. Verse 9. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, who was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse going to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. So Doeg the Edomite reports to Saul that Ahimelech had given aid to David in Nob. Verse 11. So the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests who were in Nob, and they all came to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. Then Saul said to him, Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you have given him bread and a sword, and have inquired of God for him that he should rise against me to lie in wait as it is this day? So Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who among all your servants is as faithful as David, who is the king's son-in-law, who goes at your bidding and is honorable in your house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Far be it from me. Let not the king impute anything to his servant or to any in the house of my father. For your servant knew nothing of all this, little or much. And the king said, You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house. Then the king said to the guards who stood about him, Turn and kill the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not tell it to me. But the servants of the king would not lift their hands to strike the priest of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, You turn and kill the priest. So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck the priest, and killed on that day 85 men who wore a linen ephod. Also Nob, the city of the priest, he struck with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and nursing infants, oxen and donkeys and sheep, with the edge of the sword. Saul censures the priest and then orders that his guards or the footmen slay the priest. Upon their refusal, Doeg performs the deed. Saul had 85 priests killed with all their families. Nob, the priest's city, was also smitten with great loss of life. In slaying the priest, Saul places attitude towards himself as king, as being above the holy work the priests have to do, as you noticed in verse 16. It is sad, but many innocent ones have always had to suffer consequences that come from the actions of others. Now verse 20. Now one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priest. So David said to Abiathar, I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul. I have not caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me. Do not fear. For he who seeks my life seeks your life. But with me you shall be safe. So we find that one of the priests escaped and fled to David. David feels the loss of the priests' lives due to his own problems. And the hurt is there, though there was nothing David could do about it. The priest asked to remain with David since they shared a common bond. And that is the fact that they were also both being pursued by Saul, who desired to kill them both. Now, we move to chapter 23, and here in chapter 23, we find the wandering of David in warfare, danger, and suffering. Let's pick up now in verse 1. Then they told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord once again. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand." So the Philistines fight against the Keilahites, and David was sent to rescue them. And David would save them. Verse 5, "And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, and struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah." So David knew that Saul would pursue him, even to Keilah. And so when David asked of God, God informs the people, informs David that he is going to deliver the Philistines into their hand. In verse 6, "Now it happened, when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, 'God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars.' Then Saul called all the people together for war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, 'Bring the ephod here.' Then David said, 'O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God, I pray, tell your servant.' And the Lord said, 'He will come down.' Then David said, 'Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?' And the Lord said, 'They will deliver you.'" Verse 12 surely illustrates man's ingratitude in that the Keilahites, whom David saved, are now willing to turn him in to Saul. David then leaves Keilah. Verse 13. "So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness, and remained in the mountains of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. So David and his men stayed in the wilderness there in the mountains of Ziph. And then we find that Jonathan would seek out David in the wilderness of Ziph. Verse 16. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods, and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. And David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Jonathan was convicted that David would sit upon the throne. He also believes that he will sit next to David when he is king. But in reality, I believe Jonathan is hoping he will die in battle with his father. Verse 19, then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding with us in strongholds in the woods, in the hill of Hakaleah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down, according to all the desire of your soul, to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hands." So the Ziphites promise to deliver David up to Saul. Verse 21, and Saul said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure, and see the place where his hideout is, and who has seen him there, for I am told he is very crafty. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah." So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. So David and his men had moved to the wilderness of Maon, but Saul will pursue them there. Verse 25. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. Therefore he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. Saul has to call of his pursuit of David and return to fight with the Philistines. In verse 27, but a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Therefore Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi. Now, let's move forward to chapter 24. Now, as we mentioned earlier, we're in a section of, we're calling David's years as a fugitive. And in chapter 21, David fled to Ahimelech. In chapter 22, David fled to the cave of Adullam. And in chapter 23, we looked at the wandering of David in warfare, danger, and suffering. And in chapter 24, we continue now as Saul continues to pursue David. We begin with chapter 24 now. Now it happened, when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel, and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road, where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. So Saul, with 3,000 men now, has gone after David. And he enters the cave in which David is hiding from him in as he went in to go to the bathroom. And so, verse 4 then says, Then the men of David said to him, This is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. David is close enough to Saul that he cuts off some of his robe. Verse 5. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words, and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. So David forbid his servants to harm Saul. Saul was trapped in the cave. But David refused to take the throne from him by murdering him. David had respect for Saul's office, the Lord's anointed one, even though Saul had become his enemy. We would do well to emulate David in those aspects in this modern age when often those that rule over us are at odds against what we believe and seem to hold us with disdain. Verse 8. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, My Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, Why do you listen to the words of men who say, Indeed, David seeks your harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yes, the corner of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. What an incredible scene. As Saul is departing from the cave, David follows after him and, bowing down and with the piece of robe, thus proves he meant no harm to Saul. Yet Saul hunts him to kill him. Verse 12. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge on me, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancients says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the Lord of Israel come out? After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea? Therefore let the Lord be judge, and judge between you and me, and see, and plead my case, and deliver me out of your hand. So David, calling God to witness, he promises no harm to Saul, and shows him that he wastes his time pursuing as to be in the chase of a dead dog. Verse 16. So it was, when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, Is this your voice, my son David? And David lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. Saul weeps, confessing his evil, and that David is the more righteous one. The sad thing that we see, though, is that in the next few verses, Saul, who admitted to acting like a fool, keeps right on being just that. Saul's frequent confessions, like men confessing sin today, means absolutely nothing unless a change of behavior follows. Verse 18. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore the Lord, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. So Saul now acknowledges that David will in fact one day be the king of Israel. Verse 21. Therefore swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house. So David swore to Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men went up to the stronghold. So Saul asked, and David swears that he will not destroy Saul's house. Indeed, in the last few chapters, David has been being trained many lessons in the school of hard knocks. And now we move to chapter 25. And in chapter 25, we now see the death of Samuel and the marriages of David. Chapter 25 begins with the end of the life of a great man, the death of Samuel. Chapter 25, verse 1. Then Samuel died, And the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him, and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And so was the life of one of God's great servants through history. And now we come to an interesting encounter of David with Nabal. The name Nabal means fool. Let's continue in verse 2. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them among all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David." So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and waited. Nabal, an evil man, was here introduced to us. The King James referred to him as a son of Belial. Nabal was a man who was harsh, and he was evil in his dealings with others. So David sends servants to Nabal asking for aid. And this was based on the fact that Nabal's shepherds had not been abused in an earlier encounter. Verse 10. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from?" So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. Nabal spurned it all. So David then arms his men to fight this evil man, this son of Belial. Verse 13. Then David said to his men, "Every man gird on his sword." So every man girded on his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt. Nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both by night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you will do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him. No man could speak to such an arrogant person. A scoundrel. And this is the testimony from his own staff. Verse 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, Go on before me. See, I am coming after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was, as she rode on the donkey, that she went down under cover of the hill. And there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so, and more also, to the enemies of David, if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light. Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey and fell on her face before David, and she bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, On me, my lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears, and hear the words of your maidservant. Please, let not my lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. So Abigail takes the needed provisions and goes to meet David. She urges David to not even consider her husband, who was an evil man, a son of Belial. The man of Belial, the son of a worthless man, later came to represent Satan himself. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Now back to our text, we continue on in verse 26. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand. Now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing, which thine handmaid has brought unto my lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of the heart unto my Lord. Early either thou that hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dwelt with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. Abigail utters a great appeal in pacifying David, and she states that he is to be king. Notice verse 30 again. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. Her plea is to remember me. Verse 31. That this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dwelt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Then David said to Abigail, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me. Surely by morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal. So David sees her wisdom, and he is pacified. Now we continue on in verse 35. So David received from her hand what she had brought him, and said to her, Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was, holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. Then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. It is the Lord who does the slaying of Nabal. And after Nabal's death, we find that David took Abigail to be his wife. Verse 39. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head. And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife. Then she arose, bowed her face to the earth, and said, Here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. So Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey, attended by 5 of her maidens. And she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and so both of them were his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was from Galeam. And so, being defrauded of his rightful wife, David went into the error of polygamy. We're going to stop there for today, and next week we will pick up in chapter 26. And there in chapter 26, we're going to begin by seeing David's second opportunity to kill Saul. Also, we'll look at chapter 27 as David fled to the Philistines for protection. And finally, in chapter 28, when Saul consults with the witch of Endor. I hope the Lord wills this opportunity for us to be together, and hopefully we'll see you then, right here on Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Be sure and tune in again tomorrow for the Friday edition with Brother Chip Horton. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.